This is the Advanced Selling Podcast. The aim of this podcast is to help business sales teams grow their business with modern strategies and philosophies. Now, your hosts, Bill Caskey and Brian Neal.
Hi again, everybody. Same shirt day. Brian Neal.
Bill Caskey.
We're on video again, and we never record these the same day. We just happen to wear the same shirts the exact same day, one week apart from each other.
Isn't clean, though. They're very clean.
This is an old shirt. If I wasn't married, I would never buy another stitch of clothing.
Seriously?
I'm not a clothes guy.
I love going shopping.
Yeah, I know you do. You should take me. There's a market for that, you know?
Or I take you shopping?
Yeah, men, personal shopping
for
men.
Do I have to buy the clothes?
No. I'd pay for them. You just teach me what to wear.
You're fine.
Yeah, thank you. Say that to your wife next time you go out. She's like, do you like this dress? Like, oh, yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
It works really well. Uh-huh. It's a great approach.
Okay, topic. We got a topic for this week and a topic for next week. And then you've
next
got
week's
quick.
Topic, yeah.
Next week's topic is we're going to be interviewing one of our own, Brooke Green.
We are.
Who is an outstanding, not only an outstanding salesperson, but an outstanding communicator. And part of her value and wisdom in communication is how she uses stories and how she uses examples and things like that. So we're going to have her on and talk about that because we've noticed how competent she is at that, and we think it would be very useful for our listeners.
She's a professional storyteller. She has a corn cob pipe, and she sits in a...
She goes to Borders.
She looks like a big Betsy Ross dress, and she sits in a wooden rocking chair.
At Cracker Barrel.
Now gather around, kiddies, at Cracker Barrel. Plays those really big checkers. See, the Australian people, they won't like that because they don't have...
Cracker Barrels.
Yeah, I doubt they do.
They truly have rocking chairs.
They probably call it something different.
They have aluminium chairs.
Aluminium chairs.
Okay, so that's next week. But first, do you have a Jillism?
I don't. Well, it might sound funny. But she just did it.
Well, I've got one.
Jill has, can I just say what she did? So she has like these Pilot headphones that she wears while she's recording, and the microphone's up here, and she thought we were kept picking up noise from her microphone. So I said, Jill, tap on your microphone. And she reaches to the camera and goes, I go, no, it's on your head. Oh, yeah. tap.
Jill, for those of you who don't know Jill, she does some of our production. She and Kathy Macaluso, but Jill does some of our video production here, and she told me also a story the other night. She was at yoga, and she. What's so funny about that?
Because she put this on Facebook.
Oh, she did. She was at yoga and she did the upward wheel pose or upward wheels bow or something, where you're literally your back is arched and you've seen the pose, and she had no way of getting out of that.
And as she's in the pose, she's thinking, I'm not sure how to get out of this pose, and the only way out of it is to smash your head down.
Which she did.
So relaxing.
She hasn't been right since.
Remind me to go to yoga with you, Jillian. Just watch.
With the camera. All right.
Sit on the side of some popcorn. What are you doing here? It's watching her. That would be funny, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Topic.
Mailbag day.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of questions recently, and I think we've been a little remiss in not addressing these. So today we are going to be much more client service, listener service. We've got three questions.
We do. Good ones.
Yeah, good questions. Good ones. Two of them require somewhat longer answers, and one's a quick one. So we're going to save the quick one to the end.
All righty.
Here's the first one. It comes from Nate.
Where's Nate live? Do we know?
Nate is, don't know, but he's a, I think he's in California. He's a VP of sales here in the
good.
U.S.
I
know the old school way of cold calling is dead.
Yes.
What would you recommend to someone who is just joining a new business, has no clients, and wants to grow the business from the ground up?
Love this.
Is there an older episode that addresses this?
Love this question. There was an older episode, but now, Nate, there's a new episode.
There's a brand new
and
one.
Here it comes.
Everything's changed.
We should do like a rapid fire thing what to do. Mm-hmm. Okay. First thing, and God bless, I love my clients. I've been with a client it'll be coming up on 7 years the first of next year. It's a long time to be with a client, and I'm giving them this idea last week, and they just had their arms folded and resisted, and it was something I did or said. They just didn't buy into it. But, man, LinkedIn, for starters, if you're not a LinkedIn person, go to LinkedIn. Link to Bill, link to me. It is such a common leverage tool. If you haven't noticed, LinkedIn went public. Their stock price just took a huge jump last week here in the States because their subscription base is growing faster than they thought it was. And it's not a place to find jobs anymore. It's a place to connect and expand your base. Here's what I say about LinkedIn. There's no guarantee LinkedIn's going to work for you. What you do, though, is the more, what do you call these, like webs that you have,
right?
The more chances you have to get lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And then keep it clean, right? The more chances you have to stumble over something. If you don't put yourself in LinkedIn, you're so limited in your microcosm of your contacts, which is just one way, right? When you spread this out into LinkedIn, all of a sudden you have the chance to trip over things that you don't give yourself the chance to trip over if you don't do things like LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Number one, no questions asked for me.
Here's a great tip that I heard the other day, and it talked about the old salesperson and the new salesperson.
I like this.
Yep. And the old salesperson, and there was a lot of things. In fact, we're building our own model of this, but there was one thing that they said. The old salesperson is very concerned with Rolodex and contacts.
Mm-hmm.
The new salesperson is very concerned with reach and clout.
Wow.
Reach and clout. So reach and clout is what you're talking about, LinkedIn. You have clout on LinkedIn because you have a lot of members, you deliver good content, you're not annoying, you're posting, you're blogging, you're doing whatever. And reach, of course, is the pure numbers of people who have heard of you.
Reach and clout instead of contacts and Rolodex.
Right.
Beautiful. Right. That's worth it right there.
And yet when we hire a new sales professional, or not when we do, but when we see companies do, they don't really look at that. They're still about what
they
book
go,
of business can
here's you the, here's the stack of cards we got at the trade show. Why don't you start with these? And the problem is the salesperson goes, great,
okay.
I've got something to do. Yeah. Look at all these cards. I think I'll call them all.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. There's also a website called clout.com with a K, K-L-O-U-T. That's for the advanced listener, for the advanced person that measures what you're talking about. It measures your reach and your postings and how sort of social you are in what you do.
Yeah, good, good.
Clout.com, K-L-O-U-T.
Here's another thing that I would talk
about. You can do two in a row. Go ahead.
Well, I've only got a couple, and I think we want to make sure we get to the last question, too, because we could do a whole podcast and probably should on prospecting, and we have. But, you know, you and I, Brian, have kind of shared, and Brooke Green, we've shared with each other this idea of positioning.
Yep.
And when you're brand new with a company, it's easy to fall into the trap of being positioned as a rookie.
Yep.
And somebody who's a newbie who doesn't know much, and you know, I know there's this idea, well, you show up and you tell people that, you know, well, look, I'm kind of new.
You
can say that, and that's okay, and that's very powerful and strong, but as quickly as you can, you've got to get to expert status on your business or in your business. And expert status doesn't mean you know everything about your business, because in a month you won't, but it does mean that you can become the distributor of information from smart people inside your organization.
Yes.
One of the things that frustrates us the most is the lack of awareness about what our clients know.
Mm-hmm.
You all have so much knowledge, so much wisdom, so much expertise, so much experience, so much case studies, so much value, but yet we don't look at it that way.
Yep.
And so what we do with our contacts is we say, hey, I'm cold calling you, rather than writing an article and posting it on LinkedIn about some kind of three ways to save money in your product and let everybody else consume that.
That's right.
And so as quickly as you can, get to an expert place and then leverage the heck out of that.
That's strong. I'm not going to add anything to that. Phenomenal. Every one of our clients, so now I'll add something to it. Every one of our clients could start their own consulting practice this afternoon. If they just sat down and thought about it, because they have so much knowledge. And whatever business that they're in, they could start some sort of knowledge-based consulting practice that teaches people how to do things, teaches them how to buy what they sell, all sorts of things.
That's
great
right.
idea. Good stuff.
So we've always talked about, we talk about Seth Godin a lot. And he's written a book called Lynchpin. And one of our listeners actually cited that the other day when he emailed me and said, you know, sometimes I run into the resistance. And the resistance is a capital R resistance, which is that internal resistance. So, Bill and Brian, I should write an article or I should do something. But it's that inside critic that says, you can't write. What are you going to, who's going to read this?
Right.
And we have to shoot that away.
It's good. Love it.
All right.
All right. Next question.
Let's go to the next question.
Yeah.
And Nate, thanks for that. That's good. Next question is a rather long one, but it's a fairly short answer.
Okay.
Really enjoy your podcast and Same Game, New Rules. Genius. It's been inducted as the company's sales manual. That's really cool.
Very
Thank
nice.
You. This is from Adam, by the way.
Adam's in Australia?
In Australia. Yeah.
We got to go to Australia, don't we?
I know.
Have to.
We have to.
Australian people make us come to Australia somehow. Will you please?
He says he also, the company has not shown prices on the web, and yet he's in a business that other people do. And his question is, should we put our pricing on the web to help position us and to help qualify out people who are really not prospects for
us? Interesting question.
So we're going to take a slightly different approach on that, since that really is a marketing question to us. And this is not a marketing podcast, although it can sometimes sound like that.
Yep.
We'll take it from a sales standpoint.
Okay.
So why don't you take a stab at, if a conversation happens initially with a prospect, how should he handle it?
Yeah, a couple things. First of all, I think like you talk about positioning becomes really important here. Number one, you've heard in past podcasts, we never ever want to fear the money conversation. We want to face it head on. I never want to be ashamed or nervous or scared of pricing. It's a fact. It's part of the thing you have to do, right? First and foremost. Then once I get into it, I always want to make sure that I'm taking the economic side of things and having a discussion about that and relate it to the pain or problem that I'm looking to fix. Number two. So I've got to make sure that someone says, gosh, I'm calling you in, new vendor, because we've had some late deliveries with our current shipping company and their customer service sucks. Well, we're going to be a little bit more expensive. What we got to figure out is that pain that you're having worth spending a couple extra dimes on each package you send? And the answer might be yes. The answer might be no, though. Yeah. A couple of pieces of advice I'd give Adam.
That's
from
beautiful. The whole economics versus price. We get sucked into this price conversation as opposed to the economics. And as Brian said, it's the cost of the problem and the cost of the solution.
Yep.
Related. Cost of the solution is easy. It's what's your price. Yep. And maybe there's some other things that add. But cost of the pain or the problem is a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, and people don't think that way on their own. That's the danger of putting it up on the internet. If you put it up on the internet, they don't think on their own. They also, that people have this just resounding desire or need to buy cheap stuff and get a deal. They think that's a good thing. It just is usually not the case. Usually.
We got one more question.
Yeah, let's do it.
The third one is, I have a listener in Poughkeepsie. How do you spell Poughkeepsie?
Is it Poughkeepsie?
No, it's Mark. Mark in, hey, Mark. He's from Other.
Oh.
He's from the islands of
you
Other.
Ever been there?
Never have been to Other.
I've never been to Other.
He says, I have a person that he wants to refer his clients to, but that what he does, he's a designer. So he says, discussing this other business with my clients is kind of weird because it just seems unnatural, which I can really appreciate. So what's your answer to that, Mr. Know-It-All?
Am I Mr. Know-It-All today? Mm-hmm. I was actually going to look up here on Google to see if there was actually a city named Other, just for fun, to see if
I could find
this young man. Referrals. You go first.
Well, we love referrals. And I think whenever you have someone working, it seems like there's so many bad vendors out there that when you find a good one, you want to share them with your base because they may be struggling with something. And if they're not, you'll find that out too, and they're not going to switch. So I really like your idea of sharing great vendors with your clients.
I do too. I think it's great.
I also understand the unnaturalness of bringing up an insurance thing to a design client. But I think you have to say, look, this is a bit awkward, and if you don't want to talk about this and if this sounds too weird, then tell me and I'll shut up. But I've been working with this person recently who's really good at what they do, and I know that a lot of people are looking for talent and competence in this area. Yep. So here's his name, here's his number. Would you like me to call him?
Absolutely. I highly endorse this from the, as we said in the last podcast, the karmic boomerang, and to keep it with the Southern Hemisphere Australian theme. Where the boomerang, I think, originated. Now, see, I was probably invented in New Zealand, and I meant to catch all sorts of hell for that from one side or the other. Or the Australians would be ticked because I said, it's not.
Didgeridoo, is that what it was called?
I don't know. Those things are cool, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
Can't really dance to them, but they're really cool.
Somebody from Australia sent us a didgeridoo.
Oh, my gosh.
Surely.
Could you imagine? We'll play it.
We'll get 100
of
them.
I'm a musician. I'll play it. So, definitely, it's good karma. It always comes back. Intent is clear here. It's if I know someone can be helpful, I only recommend or endorse or whatever. Because I know it's going to be helpful, or I hope it will. The other thing to think about is you don't have to endorse anything. All you have to do is introduce. And we use that word a lot when we talk about referral programs. We stay away from the idea of referral or vouching or
endorsing
and move to just introduction. So I can say, look, Bill, I know you know Jill. You're both friends of mine. Jill, Bill's done some great things for me. I think he'd be a good person for you to know just in the business. So I'd just like to introduce the two of you. I'd suggest the two of you have a cup of coffee sometime. Just leave it at that. As opposed to saying, God, Bill really helped me with my sales and da-da-da-da.
Right,
I can literally let that kind of take its own path.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I can pull back from it a little bit.
That's good. And referrals are hard to give. They're hard to get. They shouldn't be, but they are. And so if you get them, I think you get them.
And our friend of the show, John Jantz, who wrote the book Duct Tape Marketing, he's got a great process, a great process for referral. He talks a lot about the number one way to get referrals is to make them. You have to give to get is the concept here. And you don't give with the intention of getting. You give with purity of heart, but that typically comes back to you tenfold.
Yeah, good.
Or 11-fold, just depends.
If you're interested in how to send out better emails, go to email at Seller's Guide. There's actually a video on that site that Jill did. It's really good. It's got a piece of advice there inside that I think will kind of surprise you and maybe educate you a little bit about why emails are sometimes tough to write.
We've gotten a lot of compliments. We've had people that have sent us the fact they bought that book, they sent out emails and unstuck three deals the day they got it.
Yeah.
Very good book. I'd highly recommend it to everybody. Email it, Seller's Guide. Good thing to go get.
Yeah, good. Okay, see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been the Advanced Selling Podcast, presented by Caskey Achievement Strategies, Indianapolis. Join us each time we record a new podcast by going to BillCaskey.com or to iTunes.